Friday, May 22nd, Chamber Insights and the Economic Impact of the Coronavirus. Chris Steinker, good to see you. We made it a week. You know
what? Yeah, it is Friday, Joe. Good to see you. I've been checking in with you all week. This is 1 week after your back surgery. I got to tell you, Joe, you look like a good guy, man. You look like you got your color back in your skin. You look like you're at least up and about. So you must be feeling better.
Florida sunshine cures everything.
Florida sunshine. Well, good. Well, you're a bit of a sunshine for me. I appreciate it. And thank you again to the Catalyst. Yesterday, we celebrated our 50th show. It seemed just like yesterday, but now we're on. But, you know, we're getting up to a good Memorial Day weekend. You know, hopefully you're going to take some time off. I'm going to do the same. We're going to not have a show on Monday because I'm taking the day off, and we'll get back on Tuesday. So I thought we'd, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, what to think about for Memorial Day, and then also just start again reimagining what, when we get back, what our business is going to be talking about, thinking about, because I really believe we're about to hit the next, you know, runway of acceleration, and what is it going to look like? But before we do that, as I need to do every day, I'm going to talk about the numbers. So I'm going to ask you to let me share my screen and just show you the numbers really quickly. All right, Joe, and here's our new numbers. And as you can see, we had one day where we didn't increase the numbers, but as I've talked to you guys all week long, we are seeing an increase in number of new cases. Again, now we're up to 20.6. Since you and I have been showing this scorecard, we started at about 12, and now we're at 20. So each day it starts to increase. We said this number is not going to change because this is our weekly. This number is supposed to be under 6% for us to stay open in St. Pete. So we're still under that 6% of cases being, but you're seeing more and more people being diagnosed with it. What I really want to just show again is that trend is starting to really keep keeps bopping up. This is when we talked about it being low. We're starting to really reach the amount of cases we had at our peak. And so I know that, so I just want to pause on that and go, so while we are doing a lot of great things, I think everybody should just really understand, if you hear people talking about social distancing and wearing masks and washing your hands and sanitizing and keeping the vulnerable, it's because the virus is still there and there's still a lot of people getting it. What we want to still prove, though, is it's not that large of a number that people can't handle it, because right now yesterday we tested 1,600 folks and got 2% positive. So again, remember, we wanted to keep that kind of an under 6% positive number. You've seen how it's kind of spiked. We talked about our senior living facilities, but now we're starting to see it come back up a little bit. So my advice to everybody is, I don't believe we're out of the woods yet. I don't think we should claim victory and say that this is mission accomplished just yet. I think we've got a lot more work to do. But I do want to make sure that if you feel like you are not feeling well or sick, the healthcare capacity in our county is wonderful right now. You can still see how many beds we have available on the screen, hospital beds, ICU beds, and ventilators. So if you are feeling like you want to go, you can go. And I would just tell our businesses, health is still the number one thing we got to worry about, safety precautions. So when you get out there from Memorial Day weekend now, you know, the biggest concern we all have is we're just going to throw caution to the wind and say it's over. But I'm trying to tell all the businesses that are listening and all the consumers that are listening of St. Pete is, it's not over, guys. It's still time to be safe. There'll be plenty of times to party, but let's still try to keep it safe so we can get out of this and get everybody back to 100% capacity.
So, amen.
Yep. And so having talked about that, you know, we had Tucker Hall on earlier in the, you know, I think maybe our third or fourth show, just talk about crisis management. Well, I've got Bill Carlson to join me about just how do you start thinking about the future as you come back from Memorial Day? What should businesses start thinking about? Because there might be some opportunities ahead. So let's talk about the opportunities ahead with Bill Carlson. Bill. There he is.
Hi.
Welcome, Bill. How are you, buddy?
Great. Thank you.
Good to see you. It appears you are at your place of work at Tucker Hall, but I don't believe you are. You're probably at home. How is it going for you and your family during this whole crisis?
Great. I set up a little studio and took pictures to create realistic looking backgrounds. And it's been interesting. I don't have the boys right now, but usually they're here playing video games or going through school. So, it's been great having them around, but it's hard to make Zoom calls and business calls in the middle of it.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it. And it seems like, and you had one of your sons graduate this year, if I remember correctly. Is that correct?
Yeah, he just graduated in the last couple of days. So we're excited about that. And also sad that he's going to be going away. He's going to FSU in the fall. So it's going to be just close enough, but just far enough away.
Good for him. Well, yeah, for everybody who graduated their seniors this year, I feel so bad. I had a chance to do one for our son last year, and I know how important it is to everybody in the family because it's a family experience to get someone graduated. So I hope you guys celebrate in your own way. But it's good to see your face. I'm glad you're here. I've seen you a lot. You're doing a lot of your own conversations with a lot of folks. But for people that don't know who you are, how about if you just introduce yourself and all the different roles you play currently?
Sure. I grew up in Sebring, a couple hours from here, in the kind of greater Tampa Bay region. And then the Rotary Clubs in the area sponsored me to go to, I went to the University of Tampa undergrad. The Rotary Clubs in the area sponsored me to go to Singapore for a year. And I signed the MBA program there, ended up spending 5 years in Singapore and came back and joined the firm I'm with now, Tucker Hall. And the first project I worked on when I came back in 1994 was working on promotion of downtown St. Pete and building up the arts community in downtown St. Pete. And that's where I met Chris. And, we've been friends ever since. And, rolling up our sleeves to work on issues in and around St. Pete and everywhere else. Went to graduate school around that time and then came back and became an owner of Tucker Hall. And we've been growing our business ever since. We're a leading public relations, public affairs firm in Florida. One other role that I have is a year ago, I won a seat on Tampa City Council. And very committed and involved with St. Pete for 30 years now. And so still involved, even though I have that other hat on. And so I've been a watchdog looking out for St. Pete's interests, although I have to look for Tampa's interests as well. But our business is very engaged and very involved in St. Pete in lots of ways, philanthropically and with clients.
Well, we appreciate everything you've always done for us. Yeah, you and I had a chance a long time ago to work on branding for St. Pete in the Tampa Bay area, and I think we're still working on it. It kind of yo-yos back and forth, but
The concept of regionalism was one that you helped create, Chris, when you were with the Tampa Bay Partnership, and whether we call it Tampa Bay or the greater St. Petersburg area or whatever, I think it's so important for us to all to cooperate, and so we're all doing our part to push to make sure that everybody gets along.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've been one of those for me. So thank you for your partnership with it. So before we get on to just the Tucker Hall business, tell me what it's like to be a city council member in this pandemic and what you guys, just what that whole experience has been like for you. You've been in city council about a year now. So just give us a download of what that's like.
Well, the first thing that happened in every city and county is a little bit different. But the first thing that happened in Tampa is that we went under executive order and city council shut down on March 16th. We actually shut down in the middle of a meeting when the orders came out, and it took 2 or 3 weeks for us to be able to meet again. And then under the governor's special order, we've been able to meet virtually, which has been interesting. And now in June, we'll be meeting in person. But the mayor in Tampa has been running almost everything since that time, and city council is slowly getting back. But we've still been dealing with constituent issues. When people are home during a crisis, they notice more about the sound. They notice more about their neighbors using leaf blowers, blowing leaves onto their cars. They notice the potholes more as they're walking around the streets. They notice the broken sidewalks. And so we've been dealing with a lot of local neighborhood issues.
And it seems like just in St. Pete, things are going well in Tampa. You guys are, your numbers are working well, and you guys have started to open up just as, so you're seeing good progress on that side of our bay, correct?
Yeah, the great thing is that St. Pete and Tampa both have a strong leadership, political leadership and business leadership, and now the Times research has shown that even with that leadership, people decided to stay home on their own, and so I think that's part of the culture of our region, and it's a reason why we didn't get hit as badly. Just praying that we don't go through a second round. I mentioned Singapore early on. Singapore was a great example of a success story, and now they're in lockdown for the second time. And a pretty severe lockdown because they've had this come back again.
Yeah, and that is what we have been preaching on this show. We've showed the graphs about both Hong Kong and Singapore, how that yo-yo effect, and the second time is going to be way more devastating even than the first. So we're all watching and hopefully, we just showed our numbers, Bill, for our Pinellas County. I show it at the beginning of each report. And while our percent positive still remains under that threshold, so our percent positive today was about 2% of tests, our caseload is starting to ramp back up to where it was almost near our peak. So we're almost up to 20 a day. Our peak was 24. So I was just telling our viewers, I don't think we're out of the woods yet. I mean, I think it's time to move forward and watch the numbers. But, I'm worried about Memorial Day and just, what happened in Singapore where people just...
Yeah, and a big thing with Singapore was that they had this enclave of foreign workers. It's a whole long story, but part of the Singapore economy to try to lift the per capita income is to help everyone in Singapore to be better educated and to take higher paying jobs. But that means that the lower paying jobs have to be filled by somebody. If Singaporeans don't want to fill them, then others have to fill in from other countries. So they bring in workers from other areas. And the enclaves where the foreign workers live got infected, and it has run rampant through those buildings. And so that really has been the cause of it. But they're forcing everybody to stay home.
Originally, Singapore had a pretty effective contact tracing program, and I think it didn't penetrate into that population. But have you had any conversations about contact tracing in Tampa?
Yeah, the mayor just said on the show I do, the mayor just said this morning that that she's got a system like that. They're not. I'm actually friends with a guy who oversaw the app development in Singapore. And we're not doing it exactly the same way in Tampa, but the mayor's got a whole process for tracking it.
I'm anxious to, we're learning more. Joe and I are working with some folks to try to just move that along, just to get that technology in place, because we know how important it is. But I love your perspective on that, on just how you've seen things. So I think that's why you're a great partner of mine, because you've got that global view, but also you've got a lot of businesses you guys provide strategic guidance for. And what I'd love to do is get in your head for a second too, because what I want my businesses and folks just to be thinking about is, all right, so we are just out of the first gate. We're out of phase one. We're seeing how we're doing. We're going to move step by step into these, but there are some opportunities, we believe. Joe and I keep talking about the opportunities ahead for those who are looking for them. So help me understand how Tucker Hall walks people through that. And what are you seeing your businesses talk about, or what are you hopeful that they're going to get their head on to focus on?
Yeah, one thing is that we advise companies and organizations to look at what real value they're providing and what their customers need from them. And now everybody's delivering remotely, maybe temporarily, but then also more in the long run. But one thing we should talk about, I'm happy to talk about companies too, but I was on the marketing committee with Joe of the St. Pete EDC for a couple of years, and we were wrestling with what is the identity of St. Pete? What's the culture of St. Pete that makes it different than other cities? And as we were dealing with that, people always try to compare, is it like Austin? Is it like Charlotte? Whatever other cities. And St. Pete really has its own identity. But a lot of the identity is about people walking the streets in St. Pete. St. Pete's a large city that isn't just a downtown, but it's a lot about people coming together. And if you ask anybody in St. Pete to define the culture, one word that comes up is collaboration. And what we need to do in St. Pete is make sure that collaboration continues online. And it is, an example is this Zoom call right here. Hopefully we'll all get back to doing collaboration in person. But in the meantime, we've got to make sure that collaboration continues to exist. The other interesting thing, I don't know if I told you this, Chris, but the other epiphany I had about the St. Pete culture is that St. Pete really is a place where everybody can be who they want to be. It is a place, if you sit on the street in downtown St. Pete and watch the people go by, you realize that everybody just is who they want to be. They're not trying to pretend to be anybody else. There's so many places, so many cities around the world where people dress in a way, drive cars in a way, or do whatever to try to impress other people. And the great thing about St. Pete is that it's authentic. People can express themselves in the way they want to. And so that you can transition that to a nonprofit, you could transition it to a company, figure out what the essence of the organization is, and figure out how do you translate that into a new environment.
Yeah, and I love that. You helped us create that though too, that sense of collaboration through what you're doing. And now, I am nervous about it. Joe and I've talked about it anyway, is like when you get successful, you start to forget what made you successful. You can. So, but Joe and I have kind of reminded people about what it is, but But this knocking about, that these unchoreographed collisions that St. Pete provides was one of the things that first got me going anyway, is that warm, wet, salty environment where you can have an artist and a scientist and a financial data analyst at the same table in St. Pete, and they're just, you wouldn't tell the difference. And
the big epiphany I had on St. Pete culture was 3 or 4 years ago. I was at a dinner with Carrie Jadis and Mark Ayling at their house, and they had like 6 or 8 artists. And as we were sitting around talking about different things, one person came with an idea, and then the next person added to the idea, and the next person added to the idea. And in a lot of environments, in a lot of places, there's so much competition that artists would think that they compete with each other. But it's really a creative environment where people collaborate and help each other. And we need to make sure that we don't lose that, because as St. Pete grows, and also through crises like this, because it's really valuable. It's a culture that's been built over decades, and it really makes St. Pete unique. And we're just on the verge of being able to promote it in a big way and see the fruits of it with massive innovation from companies.
And I agree with you. You know, the notion of that renaissance, the place of, you know, all those great renaissances, whether it was the 60s in San Francisco or, you know, Italy way back, artists weren't afraid to share, and like they were encouraged to take it, to help each other. And, you know, what Joe's done even at the Catalyst with how, you know, we talked yesterday, we celebrated our 50th show, and we just talked about the model of Catalyst, where how they just look at their comments and they don't censor their comments, but they use their comments to help build the next story. So actually, even the Catalyst has kind of created that culture. Wouldn't you say that, Joe? Or
yeah, I have. I think what underlies that collaboration is the feeling of abundance. I think that when you're in a renaissance, you have so much open headspace ahead of you that there isn't that need to compete for a scarce resource, and so then you know that you can help other people expand and grow and improve the community, and you know it's not going to be at anybody's expense. And so I think as long as we keep that sense of abundance for, and I think the beautiful thing, like the infinite resource in that, is that St. Pete's culture, the happiness that we're all working towards is infinite because of St. Pete's culture. So it's almost like we're creating a renewable resource, and that we can all keep feeding into it and growing it. And, you know, so long as we don't tip over into needing to compete with each other for it, we'll continue this collaboration. We'll continue this, this
virtuous
this good march. Yeah. And so
I remember you talked about the positive culture. I remember sitting, on the downtown housing committee of the St. Pete Chamber back in like 97 or 98. And we thought, the streets were mostly empty. Like there were thrift shops everywhere. How do we get restaurants and bars, and how do we get condos here? And because the people of St. Pete dreamed big and had high expectations for the community, look at what's been achieved. And the other thing is that the culture of creativity has always been grassroots. I mean, there are great institutions there, the Arts and Crafts Museum, the Dalí Museum, the James Museum, and on and on and on. But the grassroots arts community is so involved in so many ways in the economy of St. Pete. And we find in talking to HR directors these high-tech companies that their best and brightest workers usually study the arts and humanities, and that's their real passion. They just work in the tech companies as their day job. And so unless there's a thriving arts community and creative community, they won't be involved.
You can't bottle that. You can't bottle grassroots. And if you can't bottle it, you can't sell it. It becomes and stays a free resource for everybody. And again, I think that's what that feeds us.
A really cool experience I had with the St. Pete EDC also was and Chris guided this process of creating an economic plan for St. Pete. But most cities have 5 clusters that they target, and they're like manufacturing and biotech, et cetera, et cetera. And we have some of those, but one of them is creative art and design. And I think St. Pete is really unique in that it's not only celebrated, but it's seen as a strategic industry. And we were sitting in a meeting maybe a year ago, and it was me and Mark Ayling, sculptor, Duncan McClellan, a guy from HD Interactive, somebody from that company that does animation that goes on Netflix. So, and everybody's sitting around, and someone starts talking about how augmented reality is coming, and something like Google glasses coming back. And so we started brainstorming, and Mark said, well, I work with 3D renderers to develop the 3D rendering of my sculpture, because I have to show the client how it's going to fit into the architecture of the building. And so all these folks were talking about how they work together, could work together. And suddenly we started talking about the future, and we said, well, what if you were wearing your Google Glasses sitting out on Straw Park, and there were a bunch of AI virtual reality sculptures out there? I mean, first of all, you could stand in front of existing sculpture that Mark built, and it would animate, but like the Dali has animated their paintings. But imagine walking around parks and seeing animated sculptures. There are these whole new industries that are being created. And on the ground floor in St. Pete, people are coming up with ideas on how to do all that.
That's beautiful. And that's the culture we have. But, you know, I want to go back to one thing Joe said and just test it on. Like, so I think, you know, we were all feeling that sense of ability to collaborate, because there was a sense of unlimited just love happening, or whatever has been happening. With this COVID and the sense of restricted commerce and limiting access and traffic, that has a chance of harming what we're doing. Would you guys agree with that or no?
Stress. I think that stress has a chance of creating some disruption in that, but I don't think it has a chance of killing the St. Pete way. I think everybody's under a little bit of stress for various reasons, whether the business is still shut down and they need to be open, or whether those are real stresses, and those are universal stresses. I think the St. Pete way and the community and the collaboration and the support makes it better. But you know, if the money's not there, or you know, the kids are home and you're trying to juggle six things at once, those are things that are going to exist either way. But I think we're it's bend but not break, for sure.
So the reason why I talk so much about the culture is that you know, here we were sitting in 1994. We had Treasures of the Czars, which was bringing people, and we had the Dali. But the rest of downtown, there was Walgreens and nobody was going in it. You know, there were stores that didn't have much going on. And look at all that's happened. And the reason is that community leaders, grassroots leaders, political leaders stood up and looked around, and they could see the positive things. I remember taking one of the famous walking tours of Rick Baker back in 94, 95. And he said, well, see this derelict building, see this empty lot. Now next to it is the building that's just been renovated. He said, most people will just see the first two. They won't see the third one. And there are so many, and you could take that through all the political leadership, Mayor Kreisman, others. But if you take that positive attitude and apply it to this, you take the creativity and apply it to this, what we need to do is think about, okay, we're facing the current situation. What creative solutions can we come up with? What partnerships can we create with the people that are in and around us that we normally would be running into by accident? And what vision can we create? And if we're optimistic and we're creative, I think we'll come up with solutions. And there are some business things that I can go through if you want. But we need to be aggressive, and we are operating in a world that is more hostile and not as friendly and not as collaborative. But I think working together as a community, we can make things happen and help companies grow.
Well, so yeah, let's talk just one more second about all this, because this is my theory right now is, and I just heard about it, and let me use an example. I won't use the name of the company, but a tech company in Tampa Bay has announced that they're going to shut down their office space. And they have one of the coolest kind of poster child for the pool table, ping pong, foosball, you know, just the cool workspace. Everybody wants to work there because it's a cool place to work. And that's how they built their culture, right? And so say we built our culture the same way. We built a cool St. Pete. And a lot of it was, every time I see Joe or Bill at meetings, we talk about other things. We talk about what's in the meeting, but we'll spend time after talking about, hey, I'm working on something. Man, I'd love to help you with that. You know, so you start creating kind of a dynamic environment because of the bumping into each other. So here's a tech company now that has said, we're going to take everybody, and you're all doing great working from home. We're going to just sell the real estate, save some money, and now everybody's going to work from home. And expecting the same kind of thing, I think. So I guess that's what my big concern is. So how do you coach businesses now on culture if, you know, I'm still old enough to believe that some of the culture we created was because you physically bump into people, like you physically see and have that space of time to talk to people. Are you concerned, or should businesses be concerned about their culture, you know, monitoring how they manage that culture now?
That gets more into Joe's area than mine. On the communication side, you can use some of the same communication tools, and you have to be a little bit more aggressive or assertive about making sure that you create opportunities for people to connect. And it depends on what kinds of technology people are using, but we need to make sure that they're in companies and in the community, that there are these opportunities to accidentally bump into each other. And, you know, big companies, big tech companies have been doing this for a long time with their global global staff, and they collaborate across across geographic lines. So again, it goes back to making sure that we provide a place that people want to live in. But from a company point of view, we need to make sure that the culture is there and the connectivity.
What are you doing for Tucker Hall? Are you guys coming back? Are you guys back in the office, or what's your plan for your office?
Last year we moved offices anyway, and there was a delay in moving. And so we spent 5 months working remotely. And so we've been practicing through this. You know, we use Microsoft Teams, and then outside we use Zoom and GoToMeeting and whatever other tools other people use. But, you know, in some ways this has created some additional productivity, because you don't have to drive to a client site, find parking, pollute the air, and then walk in. But on the downside, it doesn't enable you as easily to build personal relationships and stay in touch with folks, or accidentally run into them.
Right, because you won't walk into that reception area and get a temperature of the community. You know, like the receptionist might have tip you off on some part of the meeting that you're walking into. I mean, like, it's just going to be a different kind of experience.
My St. Pete office is Kawa South. And so I like just sitting there, and I'll schedule a whole morning or a whole day and just sit there and run into people. And it's so productive because everybody goes through there, political people, journalists, creative people, everybody. And, you know, there's Station House and others, but not being able to sit in a place like that and bump into people. And then of course at chamber events and EDC events definitely changes the way you do business. And hopefully we'll get back to that soon.
Great. Well, I appreciate it, Bill, very much. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for what you've always done for me and St. Pete and the whole Tampa Bay area. You're one of those leaders who really can look back and say, we have done a lot for Tampa Bay, from what you've done for our ports, for our airports, for our region in general, and for all the organizations you support. So just want to say thank you for being a partner, and we appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you all, too. Thanks for all your help.